Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The scriptures begin, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." The Word of God begins with the Spirit of God moving, coming, doing its work as creation is in its beginning form. We walk through creation. We see the fall. You go through all of your Bible history. Then you come to the very end of the Word of God. And the closing benediction then from John, from the creation now to the benediction. And we find these words, the last word from God. "He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. And the last word, we saw the last beatitude and the last invitation and the last warning, the last word is amen. Amen. Now, amen's a great word for believers. Whenever you hear something you like, people say,
amen.
That word literally means, so be it. I'm for it. Yes, sir. Count me in. I'm there. It's a word of affirmation. And that's how the Word of God ends, of saying all that He said. And then John says, yes, I'm in. Count it done. Amen. Amen. And in this benediction, he says amen to three atoms. First of all, he who testifies to these things. He, that's Jesus. The whole of the book is about Jesus. And the affirmation is Jesus, amen. He came, he lived, he died, he rose, he's come again. Now he's ready to take us into heaven. Amen. But he did not just exist in the New Testament. In the beginning, God, there was the plurality. The word is plural, that God created. Jesus was there in the beginning. In the creation, there was the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They were there. One in three, three in one. You say, I don't understand that. Welcome to the club. It's Trinitarian. You can't make that fit in your pea brain. He's larger than we are, more complex, but he's one God, monotheistic, one, yet three in one. And Jesus was there. He didn't just start in Matthew. You got to be a Mormon to believe that. He's not a created being. He's eternal. And the he at the end of Revelation is Jesus. And it's amen. Let me tell you, if you can't say amen to Jesus, you'll never understand this book. You'll never go to heaven when you die. You'll never be a witness. You'll never be a prayer warrior. You'll get so let me tell you, friend, Jesus is forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
The affirmation at the end of the Word of God is Jesus. He is the one who testifies to these things. And then Jesus has a word. The second thing that he affirms is not only that Jesus is, secondly, Jesus affirms, I am coming quickly, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three times in this chapter, in verse number 7, he says, behold, I am coming quickly. In verse number 12, he says, behold, I am coming quickly. And in verse number 20, he says, behold, I am coming quickly. He's coming now. He's here. He's at the starting gate. He's coming. He's about to step out and be here. I am coming. Amen. It's the affirmation. You see, friend, we do not live with our eye on this world. We have our eye on the eastern gate and on another world. We're looking for the other side. Amen. You don't have to live a long, long time till you begin to have an eye for the other side. More people you got over there, the more of an eye you have for the coming of eternity and the coming of the Eternal One. You ought to say amen to the end and amen to the coming of the Lord Jesus. I look at my own life. Today was an interesting day. I told my wife this morning, usually when I leave, I come to church before she comes just a little bit, and I'm here early, and I go by, and she's in her study getting her last things ready for preschool ministry, and I'll most often go by and either hug her or tell her hello or love you, and I'm off to church. I went by this morning, and I said, I feel old today. She said, well, why is that? I said, well, there's a new pastor coming to Pensacola, to one of our key churches. He's 38. I said, you remember when we were 36 and we came here? I said, it just seems like yesterday. 28 years passed away. This bang, that long. I said, there was an older pastor in that church when I came here as a 36-year-old boy. I said, now there's a 38-year-old guy coming to that church where the old man was, and guess who he calls? He calls me. Things change. And I tried to affirm him, encourage him. Just came back from being my folks. Dad's 92, about to be 93. First time I ever brought up the subject, I said to he and mother both, I said, you know, it's getting to the place where you just got more to take care of if you can up here. I said, why don't you just move to Florida? Daddy said, I'll get in the car and go right now. Mother, not so much. But she said, yeah, I'll be open to that. We'd talk about that. I said, well, what would we do if you came? He said, well, just get us an old place because we're not going to be there long. Yeah. He understands the reality of the end. Now, it may be coming to me before it comes to him. You never know. But the way God works that, you work to the... But you see, the end is really the beginning. That's why he says, I'm coming quickly. Amen. It's the affirmation of the end of the... This is not what we're getting prepared for. It's there that we're getting prepared for. He, we affirm Jesus. Secondly, he is coming and coming quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. The end is just around the bend. This morning I gave the invitation, and I noticed, Greg, did I see you come in? Greg Price? Not Greg, you, Jergen. Greg Price. Did I see Greg Price? I thought I saw Greg. I saw Greg and Lisa Price come, and they knelt right over here. And Courtney was with them. And so I just left and I walked over. And I said, oh, I know what this is about. They're about to send their baby off to Houston, Texas. She took a job. She's about to go over there. And mom and daddy were bringing her to the altar to commit her unto Christ as she went. I remember when she's born. And so I went over and I said, hey, I need part of this right here. I said, I was in on this, and so I just prayed quickly over them, and I said, and then mom and daddy, you pray. See, there's a generation come, but it's just that long till Courtney is where I am, and oh, it passes, amen? It just moves like a train. It's coming. You think it's not coming to you, but oh, yes, it is. It's on the way. It's coming down the track. And what do we say to that? Lord, come quickly. Amen. That's the last word. Affirmation. I'm in. I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go tonight? Are you ready, ready, ready to go? If you're not, you ought to check your ticket and be ready. He, that is Jesus, he's the one testifying. Amen. Secondly, he says, I am coming quickly. Amen. And the Revelator says, come, Lord Jesus. And then the third thing he affirms is not only Jesus, not only his coming. Then verse 21, all the ladies in the Caris house, stand up. Stand up. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. So ladies, when we named the house, the ministry where others have been and you are and others will follow, we named it the Charis House, which is this word, grace be with you. Grace is the opposite of what we deserve. We deserve to die and be in jail and go to hell, but God showed grace to us. And our church is trying to show grace to you. Unmerited favor. You don't earn it, we give it. And the same way we expect you to show grace to us as we show grace to you. And that's the word the Bible affirms. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with not just you, be with you all. As we'd say down south, all y'all. Amen? Yeah, be with all y'all. Thank you, ladies. You can be seated. It's grace. Never forget the name of the house. And God says, amen. Now listen, you just don't show grace, Stacy, to people with your testimony. Now we should show grace one to another. Well, he hurt my feelings. Grace. I didn't agree with that. Grace. As a matter of fact, we ought to call this the Charis House. This is the Grace House. Right here. The grace of the Lord Jesus. You know, I can show some kind of grace, but boy, I don't need your grace. I really need the grace of Jesus. That's the grace I need. Your grace runs out. But the grace of the Lord Jesus is eternal and forever, and amen. Amen. Grace. For by grace you are saved. How'd you get saved? It was by grace that you're saved. Friend, you can't even get started with Jesus except for grace. For by grace you're saved. Friend, if you're lost tonight, it's grace it'll save. The law won't save you. Grace is what saves you. And then not only are we saved by grace, we walk by grace. We live in grace. See, Jesus doesn't just receive us in grace. We can't even keep up, but he by grace keeps us in the family. And then you should show grace one to another. Oh, how many times we want to get legalistic with each other. Don't do that. And boy, we draw that hard line. Now, there are lines that need to be drawn, but even in drawing lines, you should be gracious. That's what ought to set the people of God apart is the spirit of grace that is there. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Be with you all. Amen. 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 So be it. So the next time you want to get your nose out of joint, repent and show grace. Doesn't mean you cave in. That doesn't mean you even agree with what, but you show grace. You show grace. Thank God for grace. We were, Liz and myself, Rachel, our girl, our two granddaughters loaded up Monday and we went to see my folks. I was going to wait on my sabbatical, which starts Wednesday, to go do that, but changed plans and we had to switch some things and they wanted to see the girls, so we went. I always learn things every time I go and I'm around my parents. They never talk much, but the older they get, the more they talk. And he began to tell me things. And I asked him about a certain gentleman, and I knew there'd always been a rub with this guy in the business world. And Daddy told me, he said, you know, he did us wrong. And I said, well, we understood that. He said, one thing I never told you. He said, a few years ago, he dropped by the house and he asked my forgiveness. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, you mean you've been letting me be mad all this time? And He asked for forgiveness. He said, well, I thought you were supposed to give it anyway. I said, well, you know, but it helps me if you give me the whole story a little bit, you know. I'm over here kind of still holding that in because he's wounded my folks. And then he came by and asked for forgiveness, and they don't even tell me, and they just let me go home sour. And Mr. Traylor looked at me and said, well, you know, you ought to, you know, just practice what you preach a little bit. It'd help you. I said, well, thank you. I may come back and see you, or I may not. I don't know. It's grace. Amen. Grace. That's what you do. You grant grace. God knows I need it. You need it. We are in desperate need in our land and in our churches of grace. Grace. Don't mean you cave in. I mean you don't have convictions and things you stand, but you need to be gracious. You need to let the grace of Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus, be with you all. Amen. Amen. Now, one last thing I want to say, and then we're going to pray. The last word in the Bible, we see it here twice, is amen, amen, amen. You need to learn to say that word. I'm talking about when I'm preaching, you need to learn to say that word. You need to say amen. You like it, you need to get in. Yes, sir. Somebody sings, they give them amen. That'll help them. He said, well, people look at me funny. Well, just show them grace. But bless God, it's all through the book. Amen. Amen. It's not just the end of prayer so you can eat. It's an affirmation. So be it, I'm in. The Lord Jesus, amen. He's coming quickly. Amen. Show grace to all. Amen.